seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, and the first part of verse 23. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, and the first part of verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11, the first part of verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The dear Apostle Paul, in his letters to the churches and here to the church at Corinth, gave them wonderful exhortation how they should live, how they should walk, how they should dress, how they should act. And we find in this solemn day so many turn aside from the gracious exhortations found in God's word. But we need much grace to abide by what the Lord said and to keep close to his word, because the dear Lord Jesus set that wonderful example in his life and in his walk before the Lord's people and before the ungodly. And oh, that we might live by him. But I want us help to look a little at this which we have named as a text. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. In trying to pray that the Lord had given me a word to bring before you this morning, this seemed to drop in with a measure of power. And it caused my own heart, and I trust it will us each, to look within our own hearts, what have we received from the Lord? Paul, in writing to this same church, said, who hath made us to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou hast not received? It was that word really that rested upon me so much, for I have received from the Lord. And you see, it is only that which we receive from the Lord that will stand when we come to die. All that that we've received from man or from ourselves or from the devil will perish. And that's a very solemn, searching thought. But the apostle could look within his own heart, and he had those things that he had received from the Lord. And that is what he set before the churches, as he preached to them, as he wrote to them, because he knew those things that he had received from the Lord would stand, and would stand him in good stead when he came to die. And he declares it very beautifully in our text, for I personally have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. really, he had nothing else to preach, only that which he'd received from the Lord, because he could truly say concerning it that he knew it by experience. He'd proved it. And the Lord had made it life and power to him. So we have three things really set forth in this text. The first is, what have we got that we've received? And then secondly, where did we receive it from? Because Jesus made it very clear in his ministry and in writing to John, writing in his gospel concerning the Lord Jesus, that those things that he gives his people will stand when everything else fails, because they receive it from him. He speaks of him being the good shepherd, and the good shepherd loves his sheep and keeps them and provides for them. They receive from him all that they need from the Lord himself. It's a wonderful thing, you know, that there is a blessed fullness in the dear Lord Jesus, as the hymn writer said, that ever abides to answer our need. And then the third point was this, that which also I delivered unto you. He could sound it forth to the glory of God what he had received from the Lord. Oh, he could. He delivered it faithfully. You know, the Lord Jesus in his ministry was most faithful. The Apostle Paul was a most faithful minister. He delivered unto them that which he had received from the Lord. And this is what every God-sent servant should do. I may have told you before, but I remember when I first went into the ministry, a dear Mr. Herbert Dawson said to me, he said, "You preach the things that you have tasted, handled and felt, what you know." And he said, "Don't go any further than that, because if you do, you're on dangerous ground." We could truly say, as George Rose used to say, "I preach the things that I know." And this is what the apostle was doing here. Well, let us look at it in a few ways as hell. First of all, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Now, what had the apostle received? And as I look in what he'd received, may we look in our own hearts what we have received. First of all, he received God's grace in his heart, and it came from the Lord himself. It was the grace of God that turned Saul of Tarsus from serving Satan to serve the living God. The Lord implanted in him his grace. Has he given it to us? Because grace makes all the difference. It had turned the sinner from serving Satan and serving sin and serving themselves to serve the Lord. and he'd receive that grace from the Lord himself. You think of that wonderful promise the Lord gave him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." And writing to the Ephesian church, what did he say? "By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And oh, that we might, and the apostle knew it, receive more and more grace. You see, not only did he need it to begin in the spiritual journey, but he needed grace for each day. And don't we need it? Do we not need that grace? Grace to bear the afflictions. Grace to bear the troubles. Grace to resist Satan. Grace to serve the Lord with reverence and godly fear. And oh, as that grace is given, it humbles the sinner. You see, the grace of humility. Oh, how vital it is that grace may abound in us. He speaks of sin abounding, but he said grace did much more abound. And he received that grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was received into his soul. And how could he receive it? Well, the natural man cannot. But as God gives it to his dear children, he'll prepare their heart to receive it. Oh, he will. In thinking upon this word, I was thinking about, we're coming to the time of year, harvest is nearly over, where there will be a preparing of the ground for the sowing of the seed. And we have the record in God's word, haven't we, of the sower that went forth to sow. Some fell upon stony ground. Some had no roots. Some fell on good ground. The prepared ground, you see, the husbandman will prepare the ground to receive the seed. And so the Lord does in the hearts of his dear people. He prepares their heart to receive it, so it falls into good ground. You know, the Lord prepared the heart of Saul of Tarsus, the apostle as he was later, to receive that grace, and it entered into his heart. And where grace enters, that everything else has to go, you see. All things of the flesh, the carnal mind. You look in the apostle himself, the natural religion there was in him as he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel and knew the law like the back of his hand. But all that had to go. It was only what God had given him that would stand. But then he was to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are many professors of religion that say, "Oh, but you, all you've got to do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ." As though a person has power to. What does the hymn writer say? "I would gladly receive him, but fear to presume." So what does the Lord do? Well, he brings the sinner right down So the only place they can look is to the dear Redeemer. Because all their hope, all their salvation is in Him. And He will reveal Himself to you, and as He did to the Apostle Paul, as His Saviour, His Redeemer, His all and in all. There's a beautiful couplet in one of our hymns, isn't it? And there be the longing, you see. Those that are to receive a precious Jesus as their Saviour, their Redeemer, are brought to feel their sinnership, their vileness, their emptiness, their barrenness. And they so need a precious Jesus. The hymn writer said, "It is, give me Christ, or else I die." What did Paul say? "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He'll make Himself very precious to His dear people, you see. And their very soul will receive Him as the one thing that is needful. We can look at the case of the dear woman of Samaria. That dear woman was a sinner. And the Lord showed her that well, what a sinner she was. He told her all things that ever she did. "Thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband." And oh, she comes as a guilty sinner. And He speaks to her that what does she say? "I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will teach us all things." And what did the dear Saviour say to her? "I that speak unto thee am He." He reveals to her His identity, who He was, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Saviour of sinners. And you know, her very soul received Him as her Saviour. And what could she go and tell the city? Well, she could say what the Apostle did here, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Whitfield said she was the first woman preacher. Not that he agreed with women preaching in any way. But you look at what she spoke in the city. "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Oh, what a sweet testimony it was, wasn't it? She could well deliver it to the city. "Come, see a man." Who was this blessed man? None other than the dear Lord Jesus. Her Saviour, her Redeemer. "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Oh, that the dear Redeemer may be made very precious to each of us. Do we know what it is for Him to be precious to us? The dear Apostle Peter did. He said in his epistle, didn't he? "Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious." The hymn writer said, "He's more precious than our daily bread, more precious than our vital blood. But then, do we know what it is, like that dear woman, to receive from the Lord deep conviction because of our sin? You see, as soon as the Saviour spoke to her, when he said, call thine husband, she said, and thou hast had five husbands, it went right home to her soul. She was guilty before the God of heaven. She felt the guilt. She felt the sin. Have we received conviction of our sin from the Lord? He has brought us to solemnly feel the vileness within. It's like David, when Nathan went to him, and what did he say? Thou art the man. And oh, how guilty David felt before the God of heaven. It wasn't just, and I've often said it, a natural pricking of conscience. It was real conviction. We sing in one of our hymns, don't we? Convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' precious blood, and to our wandering minds reveal the secret love of God. And why does the Lord convince sinners of their sin? Because he loves them. They need redeeming from those sins. They need the precious blood of Jesus to cleanse them from all their sin. Have we received pardon from the Lord of all the sins of our poor heart and life? Oh, to receive that pardon. What does the hymn writer say? Some receive their pardon first and then are compelled to fight and feel the latter stages worse and travel much by night. Others again more smoothly go, secured from hurts and harms. The Saviour brings them, bears them safely through, and bears them in his arms. But oh, to receive that sweet pardon, Son, thy sins that are many are all forgiven. Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Oh, to receive from the Lord that sweet seal that he suffered, bled, and died for us. But then, do we know what it is to receive from the Lord his love? We love him because he first loved us. Oh, to receive a taste of his love in our souls. The apostle knew what it was. He so loved the Lord because the Lord had so loved him. We sing in the hymn, kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. And oh, have we received today just a taste of his love? Love to sinners, love to those that know the Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The dear Apostle John could wonderfully deliver, couldn't he, in his epistle, the love that he had received from the Lord. Oh, he could well speak of it, because he knew what it was to sweetly experience it. And if you look through his epistle, love is the blessed theme throughout. And what do we read? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And oh, to have a glimpse by faith of the dear Redeemer on Calvary's tree. We know Pilate wrote that inscription, the King of Kings. But what else was there written there which man couldn't see by nature? Love inscribed upon it all. Oh, it's a wonderful theme, you know, when you have a glimpse of Calvary and the dear Redeemer in all his suffering for your poor heart and mine. Love inscribed upon it all. But then have we received a grain of faith from him, that we might believe? You know, without it, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But have we received a grain of faith? You think of that faith that was given to godly Abraham. First of all, to believe that God would fulfill the promise that he had given him. You may have been given a promise, you received it from the Lord. Have you that faith to believe the Lord will fulfill it? In every jot and tittle, like Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But then have we a grain of the faith that the dear woman that pressed through the crowd had? If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And that's what she believed. And oh, look how she presses, and faith will. And faith will ever look to the dear Redeemer. Oh, to receive from the Lord. You know, all those dear souls in Hebrews 11 that all died in faith, they knew what it was to receive from the Lord a grain of living faith. And like the centurion, when he said to the Saviour about his son being, his servant rather, being in that deep affliction, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. That was faith in gracious exercise. And what did the Saviour say? I have not seen such faith, no, not in Israel. And he'd received that faith from the Lord, you see. And that faith that God gives his dear children will stand. And faith will enable them to believe, even to the saving of their souls. But then have we not received from the Lord's hand gracious help? You look at the dear apostle himself that wrote these sacred words when he was brought before King Agrippa and those nobles. What did he say? Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And you see, he declares before King Agrippa and those nobles where he received it from. It came from the Lord, help of God. And that help is a precious help, which the child of God so values when the Lord helps them. He helps them to trust in him. He helps them to lean upon him. He helps them to look to him. He helps them to rest upon him. He helps them when every other help fails. It's a good hymn we sing sometimes, isn't it? No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. To Christ for help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust, oh, to receive from him. And then to receive direction in providence and in grace. You look how the Lord wonderfully directed the Apostle Paul in many ways, but I think when Acts chapter 16, when the Holy Spirit forbade him to go into Asia, and he had to go to Macedonia, the Lord showed him in that vision, didn't he? Come over into Macedonia and help us. The Lord was shutting doors and he was opening the door. We read in Revelations, don't we, to the church in Philadelphia. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man shall shut it. Yet thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and not denied my name. For I have received of the Lord. There was no doubt in the apostle's heart what he delivered to this church in Corinth, because he'd received it from the Lord, and he could declare it unto them, couldn't he? Oh, he could. And then, have you not received strength for each day and each hour? And have you not received, and the apostle did, strength in his soul from those blessed promises which the Lord had spoken? He could well speak of what he'd received of that strength, and he could say, couldn't he? But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, the Lord had given him these things, and his very soul received them from the Lord. And it was the Lord that was to have the glory, the giver have the praise. And oh, that we might, if I may, just briefly before we conclude this evening, but look in our own hearts. What have we that we have received from the Lord? Those tokens for good. Those sweet promises that he's given us. That are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. So think of these three things. What have we received, as I said at the commencement, and where have we received them from? They must come from heaven, from the Lord. And those things that come from the Lord will never return void. Oh no. It's like his word. He says, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. But then, which also I delivered unto you. He could deliver it faithfully and lovingly and tenderly too, from the Lord. Oh, he could. And of course, what he was setting before them here was that blessed ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And how he'd receive this, to faithfully declare how the ordinance of the Lord's Supper should be administered. It's very clear. There may be one that trembles when they read further where he says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. You know, many tremble at that, and we do well to tremble. May we never eat and drink unworthily. But what does it mean in its simplicity? It means those that eat and drink that have never had right thoughts of the Lord Jesus, never rightly considered the great agonies that he endured. What does Paul say to the Hebrews? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And what did Jesus say? What think you of Christ? You know, to have those right thoughts of him, that right consideration. What he endured, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. Well, may that be of sweet comfort to those of you that may be exercised. But, you see, what can the sinner speak of? Well, it's what the Lord has done. What he has done. The apostle could speak when he stood before Agrippa, when he stood before many of the rulers of the lands, he could speak and declare what the Lord had given to him. He says, for I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. And he could deliver it faithfully and lovingly and tenderly to them, knowing that what he said was truth. From beginning to end. Because it came from the Lord himself. Oh, it did. And what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I've scratched around the surface of it this evening. May the Holy Spirit enable us to look in our hearts and to examine ourselves. We read it this evening. So let a man examine himself. What have we received from the Lord? Can we say what is in the text? For I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Amen.